Here then I heard about Odysseus. For Phaidon said he had him as a guest and friend upon his homeward voyage. He showed me all the treasure that Odysseus had obtained, the bronze and gold and well-wrought iron, and really it would support man after man 10 generations long, so large a stock was stored in the king's palace. Odysseus himself, he said, was gone at that time to Dodona, to learn from the sacred lofty oak the will of Zeus, and how he might return, whether openly or by stealth, to the rich land of Ithaca, when now so long away. Moreover, in my presence, as he offered a libation in his house, he swore the ship was launched and sailors waiting to bring him home to his own native land. But he sent me off before, for a ship of the Thesprotians happened to be starting for the Dulichian grain fields. He bade her men conduct me carefully to King Acastus. But in their hearts a wicked scheme found favor, to bring me yet once more into the depths of woe. For when the sea-bound ship was far from shore, they planned a life of slavery for me. They stripped me of my clothes, my coat and tunic, and gave instead the wretched frock and tunic full of holes, which you yourself now see. Toward night, they reached the fields of far-seen Ithaca. Here, with a twisted rope, they bound me fast upon the well-benched ship, and disembarking, they hastily took supper on the shore. Meanwhile, the gods themselves lightly untied my cords, and I, wrapping my frock about my head and sliding down the slippery rudder, brought my breast into the sea, where, swimming hard, I oared my way with my two hands, and very soon was out of the water clear of them. Climbing the bank, where there were clumps of leafy trees, I laid me down and hid. With loud cries ran the others here and there, but when there seemed no profit in any further search, they entered their hollow ship once more. So the gods with ease concealed me, and brought me to this farm of a sagacious man. It was my lot to live still longer. Then swineherd Eumaeus, you answered him and said, "Alas, poor stranger, you have deeply stirred my heart by telling me this tale of all your woes and wanderings. Yet here I think you err. You never can persuade me with talk about Odysseus. Why should a man like you tell lies for nothing? I understand about my master's coming. He has been hated utterly by all the gods, who did not let him die among the Trojans, nor in the arms of friends when the skein of war was wound. Then would the whole Achaean host have made his grave, and for his son in after days a great name had been gained. Now, silently the robber winds have swept him off. I, meanwhile, dwell aloof among the swine. To the town I never go, unless sometimes heedful Penelope commands my going, when any tidings come. Ah, then the people sit around and closely question, some grieving for their long-gone master, some glad to eat his substance and make him no amends. But as for me, I have no mind to search and question, since an Aetolian fellow cheated me with his tale. He killed a man, and wandering far and wide, came to my farmstead here, and I received him kindly. He told me how, in Crete, he saw Odysseus with Idomeneus, mending the ships which storms had shattered. He said he would be here by summer or by harvest, bringing a store of wealth and all his gallant crew. You too, old woe-worn man, now heaven has brought you here. Do not, by lying tales, attempt to please or win me, since out of no such cause I show respect and kindness, but out of reverence for Zeus, the stranger's friend, and pity, too, for you.